G'day everyone. Good to be here to visit today and see everyone. If you've got a Bible there, well, it's good to get it out and follow it along to make sure that I'm telling you the things that are actually in the Bible. Today I just want to talk about a fairly simple topic. My title that I have for my talk is Learning About God. Now, before you think, wow, Mark, how long did it take you to come up with that one? You know, you work on that for a couple of weeks to get that title, but it's just so important to keep learning about God. And on the way here in the car, I was talking with Campbell and I said, there's three kinds of talks. And he started to think, oh, well, you know, maybe there's teaching and encouraging and, you know, full of all these good principles. And I said, no, there's actually a different one. It's the talk that you plan to give. There's a talk that you wish you gave and the talk that you did give. And so, the only one you can give is the one you did give in the end. So, but we're going to look at the Bible today just to do with learning about God. If you want to start with me just in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, just in verse 1, it just says, I'm in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And the word perilous there, it sort of means times that are hard to take. And I'm going to skip all of the characteristics that it goes through. It mentions a lot of things. But down in verse 7, it just says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we enjoy looking into, you know, a lot of the great prophecies in the Bible here. I know I do, and I know there's a lot of other people that get a lot of encouragement and enjoyment in just seeing God's plan and the prophecy that's contained in the Bible. But when you, I suppose this verse here is as prophetic as any of the things in prophecy that we might look into, because when you look around our world at the moment and you see the acceleration of learning, the acceleration of technology that's happening around us at the moment, compared to, on the other hand, I suppose, an incredible or just as rapid deacceleration of, I suppose, of spiritual truth in our world. Those things are going hand in hand at the moment. And it's just such an accurate description. And so really today, all I really want to speak about is continuing to learn about God, to learn about our Creator, our relationship with Him, because as we know, we have limited time in life, and we, to a large extent, we get to choose what we learn about. And back in the book of Psalms, if you want to turn with me, just Psalm 25, King David, the Psalms is full of, I suppose, prayers and conversations with God, personal prayers and conversations, often from David, but other people as well. Where they, I guess they made their desire, what was in their heart, known before God. And in verse 4 of Psalm 25, and there's a lot we could turn to, but I just have picked this one. It just says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, and lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And as I said, if you read through Psalms, you'll find a lot of prayers like this, or a lot of, you know, conversations that David had and others with the Lord. But when we think about David as the king, he was probably the person that the people of the time, they probably went to him for the answers. The one who was leading the country, was leading the people, that I suppose the people would have looked to go, well, this man is leading us, so hopefully he's got the answers for us. And I imagine all kinds of things he had to contend with. But what I think is an amazing example is his attitude was continually wanting to be taught by God and to learn. And, you know, he mentions as you go through different prayers like this, you know, he wanted to know his paths. He wanted to know his ways. He wanted to know his truth. He wanted to know God's will in his life. He wanted his knowledge. And he talks about wanting his judgments, or the way in which God discerns right and wrong, good and evil. David wanted to understand those things. And we're always learning. We don't stop. And, you know, sometimes you come across people, and you may have come across this yourself, where You might hear them quote maybe a bit of as credentials or as a bit of a badge. You know, the amount of times they've read the Bible all the way through. You know, maybe some high number. And you know, with the Holy Ghost and with the right attitude, that there's no doubt that'll hold us in good stead. Or maybe the length of time people have attended a church. You know, you might have been speaking to someone, and I suppose what they're trying to present maybe subtly is there's not a lot I can be taught because of my resume of time and because of my resume of prior learning. Maybe there's not a lot left for me to learn. But as we hopefully as we go on with God, or as we keep searching him out, we learn that there is still an awful lot to learn for all of us. And I was going to have a look in one of the Proverbs, but I might just quote it for time. But in the story of Elihu in Proverbs, in Job, not Proverbs, as Elihu is speaking to Job's friends, he's listening to the conversation that's going on, and he talks about how as he's listening, that he said, look, days should speak and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. He says that, you know, first my approach was that I should let those with time and prior learning, they should be the only teacher. But he goes on and says, but there's a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty is the one that gives understanding, the one that does the teaching. It's actually the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the breath of the Almighty, as people are continuing to be led by it, that is the key to continuing to learn and to grow and to understand. And, you know, like David's desire was to want to keep knowing the path of God in his life and to keep learning his ways. And I know a number of people here did as well, but we had some visitors stay with us over the convention time. Which was great, and I took them back to the airport last week, and just waiting for them to board their plane and so on, and I just happened to be watching the air crew out on the tarmac, and I suppose how busy they were, and the number of pre-flight checks they're doing on the aircraft before it takes off. All the passengers are on and it's boarded and it's sort of ready to go that way. But they do so much work to check the airframe before they take off. And even though they fly multiple times a day, you know, and most days, they always are carrying out these checks on the aircraft, and they're improving on them all the time as they learn. And, you know, an aircraft is what's known as a safety critical machine. And in other words, if there's a lot of parts on an aircraft that if one of them fails, or a couple of them, a lot of them lead to or are likely to be tragic or catastrophic. So the checking that goes in place is a lot. And I suppose at the moment, maybe we can all relate to that a little bit, when we all know the story, just even in the last 48 hours, of that submersible vehicle down with the Titanic. And, you know, everyone there is lost. And it's, although there's a huge amount of risk in what those people did, it's still really sad for those people's families. That they lost their life in that way, and it's, you know, really dangerous, I suppose, what they were doing. We know there's a lot of, I mean, I don't know all the details, but there's a lot of doubts over the certifications that this vehicle had to be able to take people to do that. But whatever the details are, it's clear that something went really wrong, because they all paid their lives with it. And I suppose to continue to learn about God, to keep learning about him, no matter how long, no matter our background, no matter how long we've walked with the Lord, no matter how many times we've, we've opened the Bible, no matter how many times we've got down on our knees and prayed and so on. It's really to keep learning about God is spiritually critical. It's safety, for us that way, that we need to keep that mindset. And, you know, it's really simple in that who or what we spend most of our time with is the thing that becomes our greatest teacher. It's what we spend the most time with. And we know that we have all kinds of, pressures on our life, and we have things that we have to take care of. But there are all kinds of, there are pressures on us that way. And I was just thinking that You know, there's so much there's a lot of awareness now about the importance of mental health. There's a lot of awareness about it. It's a big subject. And again, during our convention, we got a lot of great encouragement, but there's a lot of things that stood out to me there. But one that I just remember is one of our pastors got up and he mentioned something that I thought was so true and so was great insight, and it stirred me a bit. It stirred me too. And, you know, the battle and the issue in our culture a lot of the time is the emphasis is placed on the battles in our minds, in keeping good mental health and to look after our minds, and we need to, and it's really important. But there's something missing in that, and this is what his brother was bringing out, his pastor, where God says the real battleground, it goes back one step further than our mind, and it's back to our heart. And the heart feeds the mind. And we don't hear much about heart health. We hear a lot about mental health, but we don't hear a lot about the state of our heart. And, you know, God says that in our natural state, or even if we have the Holy Ghost, if we don't really use it, we don't walk in it to its potential in our lives, it's flawed. It's either stony because we don't have salvation, or even if we do and we've let that part of our life die a bit, it becomes hard again. And it's the Holy Ghost that transforms it into something that is soft, that can be molded and directed and back into flesh. And he says he writes his laws, or he writes his will and his righteousness and all those things. And he's able to give us a good heart, which in turn will give us a good mind. And, you know, even back in the book of Genesis, we know that story really well, the account of Adam and Eve and the serpent. And, you know, really, when we go through that story, the serpent didn't just change Adam and Eve's mind about what they're doing. He changed their heart. That's what he got to. In the end, he changed their heart. And there's a passage we know really well, but we'll turn to it. Just in Proverbs chapter 4, you know what I'm going to read, verse 21. No, I think I've picked the wrong one. 23? Yeah, it is. Thank you. I'm glad. See, this is why I asked to get your Bible out earlier, so you can keep up that I know what I'm talking about. All right, Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The issues we face sometimes in our minds and in our thinking, the struggles that we've got to, you know, we might have to overcome, the place to strengthen is actually our heart. The love of God is shed abroad where? It's in our hearts. And how is it shed abroad in our heart? It's by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord says. The Holy Ghost is the thing we have to feed in our life. The Holy Ghost is the answer. Even when we don't understand the mechanics, we don't understand the, you know, necessarily the how and the why, and we might not be able to articulate how all this is going to work. God just says it's faith, that as we come to the Lord, we got to believe that God is, and we've got to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, despite what the circumstances is in front of us. Because God is greater. And, you know, God encourages us all to continue to learn our strengths. Do we know what we're good at in the Lord? Do we know the part that God's called us to play? Sometimes even after walking with the Lord for a long time, people can, I don't know, maybe sometimes people feel like they lose their part, or they still haven't worked it out. But rest assured, God's got a part for you to play. We are part of the body. We've been adopted in with a function to play that's needful for us and needful for everybody else. But God, on the other hand, also he encourages us to continue to learn and be honest and open, at least with ourselves and before God, about our weaknesses too. I want to read over in 1 John chapter 2, because if we can be honest and open before God about the things that I guess we're trying to be better at, then God will always work with us. First John chapter 2, just in verse 14, and there's a couple of people addressed here. There's it talks about fathers and young men, and it says, "I've written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I've written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one." And if you're a young man, you're a young person, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're walking with the Lord, you have an incredible strength in your life. You have a strength that the world doesn't recognize. But it talks about here is what's in you is the power to overcome the wicked of this world. And there's something that I just want to have a look at today, that it actually talks about that many strong men particularly have become casualty to. Because, you know, I suppose in our modern world, or even the modern world of Christianity, it's controversial to some degree now, but God has asked that the men play the role of leading the church, of teaching. For better or worse, or that is what God has asked. That's the direction he's given. And so if our men can be taken out, then it drastically affects the future of the church. If our men can be sidetracked, and of course we need our ladies too, because a lot of the men can't do what they do without just the amazing support and testimony and attributes of their wives and good ladies. But there's something that is in our world that it affects us all. You know, I've begun two positions at work in the past. Quite reasonable jobs. And within my first day of being there, I was shown what we would call dodgy stuff. One of them by my boss on the very first day. And we know in our world it surrounds us. There is no doubt we live in a time that, like Paul described about iniquity, abounding, and, really means a world without God's principles and his teaching. It exists in large amounts everywhere we look. And I just want to turn back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7. It just says in verse 1, it says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from a strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night," so it's saying from hidden view is really what it's saying, "and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. And she is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner," or in other words, she's everywhere. "So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I've found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, and with fine linen of Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning, and let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey." God's not around. "He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the corrections of the stocks." Another way we might put it is as a moth to a flame. "Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. In other words, he's saying, listen to this, listen. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. This is, thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. This is a warning to our hearts. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. There is only one direction that this leads a person's life. And, you know, we live in a world of, of convenience and technology where, sometimes you hear people say, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to watch then? Or, you know, we all have mobile phones and so on. What am I supposed to do? And it's true that, you know, there are many parts of our life now that we can't operate without them. We do banking, we talk to each other. There's all this great side to it. But if it's a difficulty in our life, we've got to put measures in place to use technology purposefully. And there are keys in this story that are the causes of temptation. And I just want to pick a few of them out. It talks about, we just read, that this young person, this young man, they were just passing on the street. And it reflects idle time. You know, idle time won't do us any good. He made the decision to go near her corner, to actively go near her corner. He did it in the black of night, in hidden view. And he believed her lies, that it was an offering of peace, that she cared for him, that the good man is long gone and won't be back for ages. There's a lot of types here. And in the end, it really speaks of the natural senses, the tapestry, the perfume, the flattering of lips is what caused him to give in, to yield. And I wanted to speak to parents for a bit. If we're parents having to help younger people in our homes, we have to set boundaries. You know, it says, let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. If we're married people, you know, we're adults. When people go astray in these paths, when people's heart decline to those ways that it's talking about, they do not make for better husbands. They do not make for better wives. Our world surrounds us to teach us it really doesn't matter. You know, that it really doesn't hurt anything because, you know, we're just fulfilling our natural desire. It's normal and it's our right. That is the society we're trying to live in with it. But, you know, Solomon, he said, look, hearken unto me, listen. You know, listen, take note of this because, you know, the choice that we make about what we will view on our phone, what we'll watch on our computer, what we'll even stream, like, you know, there's so many streaming services, what we'll watch. You know, if we live in that house, the end won't be a good place for us. And, you know, it's an incredibly humbling thing. Just, you know, as of a husband or wife, I won't make it all gooey here and ask you to turn and look into the eyes of your husband or wife, but you can sneak a peek if you want to. But out of every person they knew, or were going to meet, they chose you. They chose you to, you know, to spend a life with, to care for, and to build a life. All those amazing things, and we chose them, and we promised God to love them, and we promised to honor them. That's the promise we made. And, you know, I think I don't always understand why my wife chose me, but I'm really glad she did. But I don't always know why. But it's worth honoring and it's worth fighting for. Our world has lost that value, but it is worth so much. And, you know, as a younger person, maybe, or whoever, maybe we're wanting to one day find someone who cares for us in that way. We want to care for them in that way too one day. And You know, if we're wanting to be in a marriage, we can't train ourselves or let the world train us in a single life that takes us down the path of a strange woman. Even though the world around us is telling us it's okay, it's completely fine, because you won't find what you're looking for. You won't find it. And the great tragedy of it, well, there's a couple. I suppose the tragedy in this life is that it will rob you of your confidence in God. It'll take away your confidence, and it will replace it with condemnation. And what happens is it causes you to pull back in your service to God, or it'll cause you to pull back altogether. And we cannot move past what Solomon said about it. And, you know, apparently Solomon was pretty wise or something like that. And he said, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. To continually live there will not help us. So I suppose I just want to say, if we are feeling maybe a bit condemned about it, what's the answer? And in 1 John chapter 3, if we can just go there, just in verse 18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Not just in what we say, but in what we do, and according to God's truth is what it means. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There is the key that, you know, that we just return to doing the things that are right in God's sight and pleasing in his sight, and we work with him, and we ask God to work with us and to help us and forgive us. He's bigger. Know what God wants for your life. You know, get close to God is what we have to do, and do the things that he says are good for us. Serve him, serve his people. You know, commit to our, or your spiritual life first and your natural life second. Commit to your spiritual life first and your natural life second, because if we do it the other way around, if we commit to our natural lives first, we will grow an amazing natural life. Well, maybe we will. there's difficulties. And we'll end up with a life like so many other people out there who, that's all they've grown, and they're not happy for it, and they haven't found what they're looking for. You know, when we come to a meeting like this today, we're united. There's no doubt. If you've been born again of water and the Spirit, and if you haven't, as we heard, there'll be opportunity for that to happen for you, to change your life. But for those who are, we're joined together by the Holy Ghost. And we might have been coming here for a long time, and coming to meetings like this for maybe some people decades and more. And as we go and keep, you know, and it's faithfulness, but as we keep walking with the Lord, it's really good to ask ourselves questions, you know, not just to go through motions, but ask ourselves questions as, what does God want to see from me? What is God hoping from me when I'm here? You know, what is his hope for my life? What does he desire for me when I'm here? Because, you know, we can all be guilty of it. I've been guilty of it, where you can come and you can go through the motions. And in our mind, we're sort of planned where we're going to sit, who we're going to have coffee with, who we're going to go and speak to straight after. And all of those things are great. It's part of the fellowship. But I believe for all of us, God has got something every time that, he wants to give us. He wants to teach us, and not just to give and teach us, but we have things that we can give and teach with other people too, to help ourselves grow and to help our brothers and sisters grow. For the Holy Ghost to teach us, though, there's a really key factor, and I suppose this is what is linked into prayer, in prayer keeping our hearts soft. That if we want to learn, if we want to be taught, Our heart has to be open to instruction. It has to be. And we can't do that with discrimination. Sometimes we decide, I will learn from that person, but I won't listen to anything that person's got to say. And, you know, maybe sometimes there's some things, well, it is wiser not to take some things on board, but we've got to stay in a state that's humble enough to go, God is trying to teach me, you and I, through a range of situations. And the more open we are to instruction, the more we'll learn. And we don't learn through head knowledge. We learn through experience, through service, through serving other people, through being about God's will. And, you know, just little things, you know, maybe in conversation, sometimes we can do, you know, all of the talking, all of the telling, and we might not yet have learned how to listen. Because when we listen to where people are coming from, the Holy Ghost will help us. You know, and that's easy for me to say, I'm standing up here talking at the moment. I'll sit down and listen. But, you know, it's an important part. You learn a lot from listening about you know, where people are coming from. And I just want a couple of things. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. I'm just picking on one verse. It just says, for you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, we have a need of patience. We have a need to keep learning. But after we've done the will of God, we're going to receive the promise. You know, to stay patient and to stay tolerant with others and with God. You know, we actually, to be able to do that, we do need to be in service to God in some way. Because through service, what happens when you start serving your brothers and sisters, when you actively serve God, we get an empathy. We get an empathy for what it takes. So we start to understand what it is to labor for spiritual things. And we learn respect for God's labor in our lives, and we learn to respect other people who are laboring for God. But if we don't do that ourselves, we don't have an empathy. It's you know, our natural side flares up. It's easier to become critical of, you know, why isn't it being done like this? Or maybe that could be done better and all of those things. But our own service gives an appreciation for others that are serving and for what God has done in our life. And I just want to actually finish off back in Matthew chapter 18. And it's one we try and remind ourselves of. And, you know, hopefully, again, if you're visiting here today, we hope that you see something different here, that you see something that's greater than the people that are here. And because it says in verse 20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, and that's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for Jesus Christ. We're here for the Lord in his name. He says, there I am in the midst of them. And when we've known people for a long time and when we're familiar, sometimes it's easy to forget God's here in the center. It's you know, that God is in the middle of us wanting to teach us. He's in the middle of us wanting to help us and to help each other. And I suppose all I really want to finish here today with is, you know, enjoy growing your walk with God. Don't let it become stagnant, you know. Enjoy it. And if you're here and thinking, well, I really want to walk with God, I don't know how to go about it, well, the good thing is God's made it so simple. You know, he's just asked us to go, I want to turn around from the life I've had, and I'm prepared to be baptized. And God said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost, and it'll open the eyes of your understanding. You'll experience something that is very different to what maybe you're anticipating, and it is what draws us together. It's the Holy Ghost. Let us just keep being prepared to learn and prepared to help and prepared to walk in the Lord, and good future ahead of us. Good people said, Amen.